reading from God's holy word today. We're reading first from the prophet Isaiah. We are in the 42nd chapter. This is the second prophet of the three that are considered the prophet Isaiah. And we are beginning at the very beginning of that chapter and reading the first nine verses. Hear this word of the Lord. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law, the islands will put their hope. This is what the Lord God says. He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare before they spring into being. I announce them to you. Our epistle lesson is really sort of a sequel to one of the Gospels. We are in the Acts of the Apostles, which is the second half of the Gospel according to Luke, and we are reading in chapter 10, beginning at verse 34. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And our gospel lesson today comes from the gospel according to Matthew. We're in the third chapter. Those of you who were here last week, remember I read the entire second chapter just for us to all learn a little bit. But we're starting at the 13th verse in the third chapter of the gospel according to Matthew. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." May we be blessed to hear the readings from God's holy word. As we read all the assigned texts today, it seems that they have a lot to do with water. And I kind of prepared the whole order of worship with a lot of those imageries you've probably already figured out, yeah? Between the call to worship and the invocation and then the scriptures, we get there, yeah? And water seemed to be where I was going, but I kept thinking about last week how I talked about dreams and whether we've had dreams and visions that lead us on the path that God wants us to go, and whether we have dreams and visions to share with others about the realm of God. And I don't know, maybe that stuck with me, but it seemed to me that in addition to water, every scripture referred to the Holy Spirit. Isaiah talked about the Spirit of God coming upon us as people of God, and the Spirit of God coming on the chosen one. And it was referenced in Peter's recitation in the book of Acts about the glories of Jesus. And even in the story of the baptism of Jesus, there is the talk about how the Holy Spirit comes upon him. And it seemed to me that if we're going to be people who have dreams and visions that we hunger for and that we receive and we share them with one another and we decide that that's the dream and vision for the body of Christ today, then we need to be connected to the Holy Spirit, because those dreams and visions come from the Holy Spirit, don't they? So maybe we can just step back a bit from hungering for dreams or having courage to share the dreams we have, and instead hunger for the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit. I realize that I'm preaching to the faithful, but I'm always hoping that you all need reminders, because I preach to myself, really, and I need reminders too. When I was younger, I hungered to be really connected to God every moment and every day, and to feel that presence. And I came to realize that I needed to have God's Spirit dwell within me, not just over and around and a blessing once in a while, but really take hold of my heart and my soul. And I prayed passionately every day that might happen. And it seemed that over time it really wasn't happening. And then I remember the time that I had a vision of the Holy Spirit. And life was different after that. And I felt that warm heart that Wesley referred to. I felt that indwelling of the Spirit. I felt that connection. I felt that I gained insight and understanding, that I had courage to take stands against injustices and things that I had seen. I found myself becoming more open and tolerant, gaining insight, letting go of judgments. But like everything in life, passions wane and get reignited and wane. And so there have been times in my life where that wasn't my passion. I don't think it means that God removed God's self from me. It just means that I wasn't fully present to God. that I'd shut the doors of my mind to the opportunities that God was giving me to hear God's voice. It's real easy, isn't it, to get bogged down in the stresses and problems and struggles of living. One day quickly goes, and before we realize the next has begun, it feels like we're into the third or the fourth. I mean, it's the 8th of January already. A whole week in the year. And we seem to be measuring time and our lives by what we don't get done. Last week I invited us to consider having a New Year's resolution that wasn't like other resolutions, but that was just focused on one word that represented what we hoped we might do in the year. I hope that we can spend some time in this year individually and together as a congregation, listening, hungering, hoping, and asking God that we might receive an indwelling of God's Holy Spirit, even if we already have that, that it might continue for us. And if we've never had it, that we might experience it for the first time. That we might become part of God's realm, and we would know it because we would have dreams and visions that we understand, that we have the courage to share, that would lead us on paths of righteousness. Epiphany. An encounter with the holy that changes us. May we have an epiphany. May God's Spirit move across our lives. May we more fully know our Savior. Amen.